you had said that Steve's first birthday was around the time of the Castle Mission?
Yeah, so he's born in 10 October of 43, and that was late September of 44 of the Castle Mission. So he was just short of his first birthday there.
And it was June 6th that the accident was?
That's right. June 6th of 1963. He's just about 4 months, a little more than 4 months short of his 20th birthday. He came home for the summer, and as I say, I was in California, and he had come home for the summer, and another young fellow there that he paddled around with, we lived on the base, in base housing, and I'd gone off, and I was assigned out to California for that KC-135 school, and Sybil was there alone. And she went down to Chapel Hill and picked him up and brought him back home. Mm-hmm. And the two boys, our son and the other boy had his father's car. And so they were out on the afternoon there, just before they were both going to have a job for the summer. And the boy, the driver, decided to pass another car, and it happened to be right on a rise. Hmm. I don't know why it would have been surprising, because it was almost in front of the high school that both of them had attended. They were familiar with that road. But he decided to pass on the rise. They went head on into another car. The other car was driven by an airman's, a sergeant's wife from Lockburn Air Force Base, where we were in Columbus, Ohio. And the sergeant's wife was killed also in the accident, head on, and our son was killed, and the driver, young driver, about the same age of our son, had a broken arm. That's the end of our descendants, right then and there. Well, it just so happened that particular day, the 6th of June, had long been my graduation day from my KC-135 schooling in California. It was at Merced. It was Castle Air Force Base. And we graduated in the morning. Of course, being 3 hours later out there, by the time I started home, from there about noon, I started driving east. I had my own automobile out there. And so that was about 3 o'clock Eastern time, and about noon hour time out there that I started driving. And towards evening, it was approaching darkness, somewhere around Needles, but just before I was to get into, I don't remember if I was, would come into Nevada or Arizona there, it was both of them pretty close there. But as I was approaching Needles, I decided as it got dark that I would find a motel. So I saw one, and I just drove right into it in the driveway near the office. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and right on my rear bumper was a highway patrol. Highway patrolman. And I got out of my car, and I says, "Well, officer, what is there a problem?" He asked me if I was Major Swofford. Yes, yes, I was a major at the time. And he said, "Call your command post." I'd never heard of such a thing, but apparently the authorities back at Lockburn in Columbus had called. They had found out. They had first contacted the military at Merced, and they said I'd already left, heading east. And so I don't know where they got information about the car, but that policeman had, the highway patrolman had been alerted to, I think all of the patrol were alerted to look for me. And they said, call your command post. So I just, before I even checked in at the motel, I went over to find a place to call, and there was only one payphone, and all of that little, it was just a village then, Needles. That's quite a while ago. And there was one payphone that was available, and there's a long line there, and so I had to get in line. And I got in, and it was always arranged when we were away from the base that I could just put in a quarter and call, and they would, and the number that I would call, they would return my quarter to me, you know. And so that was, I got the base number and called and talked to my commander. And my commander told me that my son had been killed that very day. And so, I had the commander to give me back the command post there. It was hard for me to talk, like it is now, really. After 46 years, it's hard. But he gave me the command post, and there that was on the base, and I asked them where I was. I says, and they told me, said, you're just 100. I was 100 miles south of Nellis, mm-hmm, Air Base, which is in Las Vegas. And so I asked them, while I was on the phone there, I says, how about you making arrangements for me? I says, I can drive up there, but I don't know. I says, I have no way of knowing what our planes are flying and so forth. So the people at the command post got a hold of the airline out in the airline office out in Las Vegas, that was near that air base in Las Vegas, and they found out that there was a plane heading east at a certain, about 2 hours from then. And they said, we told them, if you didn't get there to hold it, well, that was a pretty hard drive, you know. At night, 100 miles, and I had to go across Boulder Dam, you know, Lake Mead and Boulder Dam, strange territory, at night, by myself, not even knowing where I was. But I finally got to that airfield up there in Las Vegas. It was 100 miles away. And they were holding the airplane for me. And when I had talked to the commander earlier, he told me that they couldn't, that what time of day our son had lost his life, it had been about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they couldn't find Sybil. Sybil had gone up to town, was spending the night up to town somewhere, and they hadn't found her yet. So I heard the news before she did. Well, before, when the commander told me that, there were people outside the phone booth back there in Needles wanted to, they wanted a telephone. They were clamoring there to, for me to shut up and get out. Well, and since they couldn't find Sybil, there's no point in me calling her. So I called Sybil's mother. Steve was the first grandson, you know, he was the light of their life. And I started off by saying, I'm out in the middle of Harvey Desert in Needles, California. And she says, well, how wonderful, how are you getting along, you know? And I just says, I didn't call for that. I says, Steve is dead. And I know that shocked Sybil's family head to toe. Mm-hmm. But I got up there and got on that airplane, left my car there, parked there in the lot, and headed east. And the next morning I was at home in Columbus. And Sybil met me at the door as I came in. It was a tough time.
What sort of a kid was he? Was he like an Air Force brat?
Well, we always lived around the Air Force.
I know what you mean.
He didn't much like the idea of me being in the military. It didn't send him any at all, you know. He was a wonderful young fellow. Can you pause it? Just look over your shoulder.
Oh my goodness, good looking kid.
Oh boy. Hmm. That's made when he's 19 there. It just missed him every day.
Oh, sure.
And so was Sybil, but she's not as vocal about it, I guess, as I am. I'm the one in our household that brings his name up all the time, but